Hi, this is Michelle Anderson, and I'm here with David Sear. David is the owner of Sear Construction and a longtime town councillor of Millinocket. And we're here today to talk to Dave about one of his new issues, the club. Hi, David, how are you?
Yeah, very good, thank you, Michelle.
Listen, David, I've been hearing that you're dealing with something called a club. Can you tell me what that is?
Now, the club is a comprehensive land use plan that is a 10-year, every 10-year interruption in the land use regulations need to regulate us literally to death. The club represents, by just like everything else, the incrementally changing world that we live in. For example, in the 70s, you weren't able to put your camp 100 feet from the water. And it wasn't that very long after that the rule was 100 feet from the water. And now it's 75 feet from the water. So incrementally, the Land Use Regulation Commission is putting in new state statutes, new rules and regulations that makes you less able to do what you were easily able to do in the 70s and 60s before their inception.
Well, what's the fear about the club?
Well, the fear is that they've instilled some words in the club, mostly having to do with values. The word values is used almost in every other sentence in the club. They've inserted some words like primitive that lead you to believe that most of these pursuits that are primitive are okay, and motorized pursuits and motorized access are things that are almost being vilified now.
By primitive, you mean what?
It means no motors, no airplanes flying overhead, no motorcycles, no ATVs, nothing that interferes with the nature of being in the woods, the natural effect of being in the woods.
Well, what does that mean to me if I'm a landowner?
If you're a landowner, that means that you will no longer be able to use 90% of your property. It will be set off into different values. Like it'll have scenic value, it'll have intrinsic value, and those values, they will set your ability to have development on that property. They've set new standards for being next to vernal pools, being next to waterways, being next to areas where people consider their pristine right to have uninterrupted wilderness. That's what it's all about. They basically would like to make sure that they're going in the direction of being more restrictive in your use of the wilderness and making sure you're more conscious. Like right now, there's a new law that's just passed. You can't smoke in state parks.
Anywhere in a state park.
Well, not anywhere, but there's designated areas now that are posted.
Outdoors
in state parks. And that's the direction it's going in. And the club itself as a whole has all these ambiguous terms that mean nothing today. They're kind of cloudy. But during the next 10 years, the club is a document that gives you the guidelines for how they're going to govern the rulemaking procedure of the Land Use Regulation Commission for the next 10 years. They set this policy, the governor approves it, and they use these words like values. Now they place that word value when they write the next law to mean what they want it to mean.
So it's ever evolving,
and it gives the people who are interested in being more restrictive of the land a way to make things that are ambiguous today clearer for them tomorrow. It's best described in the State House as being something you have to, sounds nice today, but you should worry about for tomorrow.
Well, now, let me just clarify something, because you keep saying they. Who is they?
If you go to the meetings and you see, sit in the room in the hearings, you'll see the National Audubon Society, the Sierra Club, Kathy Johnson, Brownie Carson, the people that are, they represent the Natural Resources Council of Maine, they represent, Maine Audubon, these organizations are all part of the Northern Forest Alliance, and they basically have, they had the better influence in the club. The club is drawn together from panel discussions. Land Use Regulation Commission hears panel discussions, and those panel discussions are mostly governed by the green groups. And they listen to them and what they need to have changed for the state of Maine. As part of the panel discussions, the Sportsman's Alliance of Maine, the Camp Owners Association, they're also allowed to have these panel discussions. But their arguments are weak, and they're not heard as often because they're working people. They work 5 days a week, where the Maine Audubon and Kathy Johnson and the rest of them, they work 24/7 at being naturalist, at being green, for lack of a better word.
Well, David, what does naturalist mean?
In tune with nature.
Is there something wrong with being in tune with nature?
Absolutely not. I'm a naturalist and environmentalist. I'm just not a preservationist.
Oh, what's the difference?
Preservation means that you want to preserve it, so there'll be no use of it. A naturalist believes in the use of it, and the environmentalist believes in the use of it. The wise use of the environment. But in a preservationist believes you should not be using it. You should be looking at putting it up on a shelf to be observed, walked by, and not used.
David, just who does this club affect?
Essentially, it affects everybody in Northern Maine. But it affects landowners directly because the value of their land is now in question because the value is going down. As they can find less uses for their land, it has less value. It affects businesses because if you can't recreate as easily as you could, then businesses that depend upon recreation can't keep the hotels filled and restaurants can't keep the restaurants filled. The bottom line is it's a trickle-down effect from businesses because the land use regulation basically was built to control the development of Northern Maine by keeping things centralized and making you want to go to Southern Maine. The ATV enthusiast, the snowmobiler, needs to use the land to recreate. The restrictions now being placed on the land through LURC don't help that. They hinder it. They keep you from having a free avenue of affair. Now, the landowners are saying, in Augusta, when I heard them testify, that if they don't have some relief from the use of the word value in this clock being imposed upon them, they're going to gate their property off. They don't want nobody on it. That's what's going to happen to them, which takes the recreational industry, the ATVs, snow sledders, it puts them out the door. That doesn't help the economy in Northern Maine. So nobody really benefits from the club.
But if I'm from Lewiston or Portland, why do I care about the club?
You don't even hear about it. It's not on your radar now in Southern Maine.
And should it be?
It should be, because when Northern Maine closes up and dies, you're going to lose that tax base. We're going to be stopped helping you pay the taxes in Northern Maine.
So tell me, David, what is it that you propose?
We propose to return Maine back to county government. 47 other states in the union have county government. We're the only one in the country with unorganized territory. The other two have parishes and one has provinces. Maine is unique in the fact that unorganized territory is just like an unincorporated town. In unorganized territory, even though we still have counties, we don't have a strong form of county government. We only have a sheriff's department. We have the registry of deeds. We have minor parts of a county jail system. In other states of the union, especially Florida, has the strongest county government. Their counties run 80% of the government in those areas where they don't have incorporated towns. And as a result, you have representation of the people on boards that are elected telling how to develop next to camps and lakes, telling people how to develop with the DEP, telling people how to keep things in a way that the public is happy. If you're not happy with what your elected officials do, you can unelect them. The Land Use Regulation Commission is an appointed board by the governor. You cannot unelect Land Use Regulation Commission. All you can do is unelect the governor and say a prayer he'll appoint a better commission. So you really are bound by that. If you had county government and these faces come up at the election and you don't like what happened at the last time your county officials have said and done something, then you have the right to unelect them. That is the basis of democracy in the United States. So basically, Northern Maine, because it's a mostly unorganized territory, is without representation in Augusta. Rules are being written and it's sanctioned as laws in Southern Maine. That's how LURC operates. That's how their basis of understanding is. They are a rulemaking body and their rules are incorporated as laws in Augusta. They're given the power of writing laws, but they're called rules. The Agriculture Committee, we call them the Ag Committee, they approve these rules and enforce them as laws, which makes them a law writing committee. And you don't have the right to review those. Any other part of the government writes a law by committee review, you can go back and speak to that law at a committee level and affect that law before it becomes a law. LURC's laws are accepted as laws once they're approved by the committee.
So you're telling me that people that have never been elected to office are writing the laws for Northern Maine?
That's correct. Yes, the Land Regulation Commission is writing the laws, but the Ag Committee is approving them, and they are elected. But the ones making the rules, which are now laws, turn into laws, I'm not elected.
Well, tell me, if it goes to county government, will I have to pay more taxes?
Nope. That debacle has already been had in the paper. I think it's Marilyn Turlott from Piscataquis County Commissioner stated in the paper that we couldn't afford to have the county government because it would cost too much. And basically what this guy, Chris Gardner, who's a commissioner from, I think, Cumberland County, Chris found out from LURC's records that we pay, that the counties pay taxes that generates an income for LURC or pays for their subsidy. That money's being paid to the county already. Paid to the state government through the general fund. If you stop paying for LURC, then you pay for a county commissioner to be a public servant. So actually there is funding for LURC in your county when you're already paying it. So there's no additional funding.
You're just
going to
switch where your money's going.
You're just
going to
swap where the money goes. Simple as that. In a lot of cases, the case has been made, well, this is going to cost X amount of dollars, it's going to cost more. In effect, it's going to be a lot less complicated government, having government at the local level, because you're not going to be doing business in Augusta. You're going to be doing business in your own hometown.
Well, so if I live in Penobscot and I drive through Piscataquis, is it going to be a whole different ballgame?
That's where the landowners have trepidation about this, because they feel that they have a fear that they'll have to deal with several different county governments as they change county lines. But what has been explained to them and what we're trying to work through now is 47 other states have county government. They've already solved this problem 200 years ago. They've had county government for 200 years. These problems that people perceive as being large problems have already been solved. They really are minor glitches in what might transpire. We've already decided as a working group to set up a way to keep people that have concerns about county government, take all the concerns together and make sure we have a smooth transition between Land Use Regulation Commission running the development process in the state and county government picking up the slack.
So how do the landowners feel about the club?
Judging by comments and conversations and the testimony I heard in Augusta, they were quite concerned that all five pieces of legislation failed in committee. They had hinged their efforts in hopes of getting something passed on those five pieces of legislation that would alter the words values in the club, keep from losing the value of their land and having to actually put gates up on their property someday. We met out in the hall with several of the landowners, and it seemed like they were almost ready to throw in with us, and we were on the side of abolishing LURC, and they weren't quite there yet until they lost all their issues in the State House. And so now they're looking at maybe having the organization which is out to abolish LURC as being the lead in this fight against LURC. But they're quite concerned that nothing has happened that was working for them. All the time they were in Augusta lobbying for their case. Their case is they're losing the value of their land. As the club takes away their value, they're not gaining. And then it isn't just one landowner. It's all of them. There was this, I think his name was Rick Denico, who testified in Augusta about having 90 acres on the coast. He says if the club passes the way it is right now, the way it's written, it doesn't get altered, his 90 acres will only have 10% of the availability to develop it. The rest of it, he'll be unable to develop it. And that means he's lost the value of 90 acres of land on the coast. Where can that be good?
David Sear, I really want to thank you for this interview. And if it's okay with you, I'll be getting back to you at some point in the near future to find out exactly what's going on with this LD 1370 and the club.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.